tackling tough topics to help you think reasonably about life's most important issues. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I am your host. Hope everyone is having a good day and a good week so far. We are in the process of working through three articles that I wrote during the turmoil and unrest of 2020. All three articles are linked together, and so they're really meant to be read as one single literary unit. So they're really meant to be read all together, kind of in one sitting. The first article was entitled A Prophetic Word from MLK. That article was really about mediating thinking. It was about finding common ground. It was about bridge building and peacemaking. The second article was entitled The Moral Spirit of the Age. That article highlights some of the shortcomings of contemporary moral reductionism. And it underscores the importance of moral being rather than mere moral appearance. Today's article is entitled The Rule of Love, The Hope of the World. When I started writing these three articles last year, I knew where the path was going to lead, where the road was going to end. There was never a question, never another option. Love is the fulfillment of all moral action, of all moral law. It covers a magnitude of faults and failures. It covers me, the failure of all. Love is the consummation of all justice, peace, truth, and being. Love is the end of the road, the end of the story, the greatest story ever told, the only story worth telling. Love is the enduring word, the word incarnate, the final word of all. It is spoken in a language that everyone can understand, a language that transcends all boundaries and all difference. Love is that eternal fountain, that stream of living water. Won't you sink your head under and let it rush over you? Love is an undying, unconquerable spirit. It is unifying spirit, the spirit that speaks to our spirit, the spirit of all existence, all being, all essence, all things, the spirit of God, the spirit of love, the hope of the world. Let's begin our final article. This article is more poetic than the others, and so there are going to be a lot less breaks in the action overall. Our article starts out like this. Many people throughout my life have probably thought that I'm quite strange when it comes to how I use the word love. I suppose I'm a bit of an oddball. I use this word rather loosely and liberally in my speech and communication. I wonder if others have felt that I use the word too casually, even carelessly. Maybe in using it so frequently, I rob this word of its honor, its dignity, its value, its meaning. When I tell other people that I love them, do these words fall on deaf ears? Are my words hollow? Is my love for others insincere? Call me a hopeless romantic, a dreamer, an idealist, but I believe that love is real. I'm a believer. I believe that love exists objectively and absolutely, apart from the subjective categories and conceptions of the human mind. I believe that this love is unconditional, that it knows no bounds and has no limits. I believe that the experience of love is one of the things that makes a human a human. It makes us different than other animals. It lifts us higher than the mountains and the clouds that rise above them. Love is transcendental. In each act of pure love, we transcend matter, nature, and the finite. In each experience of pure love, we become who we truly are, who we were always meant to be, and hopefully who we will be. When we choose to love another unconditionally, we encounter the absolute, the infinite, and the eternal. When we defy the impulse to power and the natural animalistic instinct to self-preservation that Nietzsche spoke about and Jesus warned against, and instead we decide to selflessly give ourselves to another in love, we touch the transcendent. In these moments, we open ourselves up to the mystery of what is non-reducible, to what transcends the conditions of past-present causation. For love liberates us from all conditions and creates in us the possibility of pure novelty in pure freedom. To experience true love is to experience transcendental spirit. To believe in love is to believe in the spirit of love. To live in love is to be unified with the unifying unity of all reality, the spirit of unity, the spirit of life, the spirit of God. As a great poet once said, God is love, and love is real. To know this love is to be changed by it forever. When I say I love you, you may not believe it, though you have in past momentary fragments of your life, and though you will again in the future. But I believe it. I speak these words because I believe in them. I use this word loosely and liberally because I believe the thing that it signifies is limitless and boundless. I speak love freely because I believe in love. Let's take a quick break at this point. In my opinion, there are several things that separate the human being from all other animals. Mind, will, personality, creativity, and morality. Virtues like altruism, unconditional love, forgiveness, and grace. These things run counter to nature, instinct, impulse, survival, self-preservation, posterity, preservation of progeny, preservation of blood, family, species. To me, these novel moral capacities, selflessness, unconditional love, forgiveness, are not explainable by virtue of mere evolutionary processes, development, and adaptations. They are something higher, something transcendent, something worthy of awe and wonder. I believe that love is transformative. It's dynamic. It changes us. It has the power to renew our hearts and our minds. And this is something that I believe I've experienced in my own life. Let's jump back in. Moving out of the abstract and into the concrete, I think it's important to clarify what I mean by love. To me, love is defined by two main factors: selflessness and edification. The love that I believe in and the love that I speak of is self-sacrificial. And as Kierkegaard rightly understood, it always builds up. Even when this love reproaches, criticizes, disciplines, and instructs, it does so with the intention of building up. Even when this love deconstructs and tears down, it does so with the purpose of reconstruction and edification. Love always desires the best for another, even for the stranger, or for the one who functions as an enemy. For this love is unconditional and knows no bounds. This love is the hope of the world, and I believe it is the answer to all human problems. Let's pause here. When a loving parent disciplines her child, She does this out of a love that desires the best for her child. The edifying act of discipline is often self-sacrificial because the loving parent doesn't find any pleasure or joy in punishment, but actually experiences the very pain of the child within herself. This is true love. When I step back and I think about how this relates to Thinker Sensitive, to this podcast, in the midst of criticisms, and in the midst of standing for at least what I subjectively perceive as justice and truth, I hope this podcast always seeks to build up and to edify, truly desiring the best for all those who will listen. That's the goal. I want to talk for a second about the unconditionality of love. To me, true love has no conditions. It's not based on race, gender, sexuality, religion, age. True love loves all. It's not based on family, friendship, commonalities, likes or dislikes, preferences. True love loves all. It's not based on ideologies, worldviews, belief systems, and ideals. True love loves all. It's not even based on virtues, vices, attributes, character, morality, or corruption. True love loves all. It's not based on political affiliation or religious tradition, because true love loves all. It's not based on tribe or camp or group. True love loves all. It's not based on agreement with another or acquiescence to another's cause. True love is conditionless. It is not based on the conditions of agreement or acquiescence. It transcends all conditions. It is unconditional. This is what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples when he called them to love their enemies. The unconditional love that Christ promoted actually transforms the very nature of the term enemy. It's as if Jesus was urging his disciples to treat their enemies as their friends, as those whom they love. This is what God does, for he shines the sun on both the good and the evil. He takes no pleasure in the demise of anyone, and he desires that all people would experience his unconditional love. The other night, I watched a 30 for 30 ESPN special on Dennis Rodman. It was actually really sad. Rodman was just a young man who wanted friendship and love, and he never really found it, partly because he was looking for it in the wrong places, and he was looking for it in the wrong things. The striking part of the documentary is that love was right in front of him the entire time, staring him in the face. His children wanted to love him and to be loved by him, but because of scars in his past, he was never able to enter into a loving relationship with his children. One scene that really jumps out to me is a scene with Isaiah Thomas in it. And Thomas was Rodman's former teammate with the Detroit Pistons. And Isaiah Thomas, throughout the documentary, talks a lot about this concept of unconditional love. And in this one scene, Isaiah Thomas just starts sobbing and he gets up and he walks away from the camera. And in that scene, he's lamenting about the fact that Rodman never found that unconditional love that he was looking for his entire life. I don't believe that the solution to human problems like prejudice, racism, sexism, hate, and even poverty and pollution is ultimately found in civil law and public policy. I don't believe that you can eradicate prejudice, hate, and injustice through legislation. I don't believe that evil and corruption are merely institutional or corporate problems. I don't believe that racism is merely a national or societal problem. I think these things are universal human problems. I think the problem lies in the human heart. I think we are the root of the problem. I think the problem begins and ends with us, with you and I. This is not to say that I'm against policy changes. It's not to say that I'm against the legislation of just laws. It is simply to say that prejudice and hate exist primarily in us, not necessarily in laws and policies themselves. A love that changes the human heart, a love that transforms what is ugly into something beautiful, is the only lasting and enduring answer. Let's continue. For me, love is the criterion of all human action. I think that love is the standard that should be used for assessing the goodness of any given act. In times of societal turmoil and duress, in times of great national conflict and contention, I wonder if our communication is more a reflection of love or hate. I wonder if our actions are more an expression of selflessness or selfishness. I wonder if we love deconstruction more than we love construction and reconstruction. Is our pleasure found in simply destroying things or in rebuilding them? Let me stop here real quick to give a concrete example of what I'm talking about. Do I urge people not to get the vaccine out of love, for edification, to build up? Not out of selfish ambition, but because I sincerely desire the best for others. Do I urge people to get the vaccine out of love? For edification, to build up. Not out of selfish ambition, but because I sincerely desire the best for others. Another thing that I wanted to take a second to talk about is the notion of deconstruction. Deconstruction, simply for the sake of destruction, the desire to light a match and set the world on fire and watch it burn, is a form of hate. Deconstruction for the sake of edification and the goodness and well-being of humankind, regardless of affiliations or ideologies, is a form of love. Let's move to the final section. In these volatile times, the words that I speak publicly may be true, but are they loving? My actions in my community may be just, but do they flow from a heart endowed with love? Have I been changed by love? Am I a loving person? Is darkness waiting at my doorstep? To quote from another modern poet, is this darkness in you too? Have you passed through this night? I don't know your heart. Only God knows it. I am not your judge. I can only judge myself. And I know myself as ambivalence. As we reflect upon issues of injustice in our nation, and also on the overall level of divisiveness and hostility in our society, I want to invoke MLK again on the preeminence of love over hate. He says, returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. In another place, he says, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And in another place, he says, hatred paralyzes life. Love releases it. Hatred confuses life. Love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life. Love illuminates it. Let me end with the greatest and most profound words ever spoken on the topic. Here's what St. Paul has to say about both the nature of love and its relationship to all human action, both word and deed. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I want to end this podcast with a few words of encouragement. To me, this love is the solution to our problems, including all of the unique problems that I have been personally addressing in these last three articles. It's the solution to our thinking problems and our communication problems. It's the solution to our divisiveness and hostility. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It is the solution to our moral reductionism, our virtue signaling, and our judgmental attitudes. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Love is the solution to the human problem. It's the answer to my selfishness, to the subjective conditions that I place on objective love. It's the answer to my prejudices, to my hatred. This love has the power to change humanity. To invoke Wolfhart Pannenberg, one of the greatest thinkers to ever walk this earth, it is the power of the future, the power of novel and creative spirit. And it is the hope, the only hope of the world. As always, thanks for listening. This episode and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive are available at thinkersensitive.com, iTunes, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content and wish to donate to help us grow our online community of thinkers, please visit thinkersensitive.com.